Hello, and welcome to A Hope Kingdom Ministry, where we like to give you food for thought. Our intention is to give you something more to think about. Hello, beloved family. I know it's been a while, and I'm really sorry about that. But I'm so happy to be with you right now, and I'm hoping that I won't have to take such a long pause again. But in the meantime, I just wanted to get on here and just to let you know that I'm still here, first of all, and that you all are important to me. You really are. And sometimes it's hard for me to record. And then sometimes I have to really, really push myself with things that are going on and around, but you know how it is. But the main thing is don't give up. And I hope you're still here. I hope you're still there. I just want to talk today. But I've been going through a lot as far as thinking a lot and going down in prayer. Beloved family, what is church to you? Is church helping you? Is the church helping you? Have you given up on church? Have you given up on believing that there are any real, true pastors that with good intentions that really want to teach the people and not just fleece the people? So many people are walking away and turning away from the church, but they're turning in, going to New Age or to witchcraft and things like that, because where they see power. They say they see power. And, I've been watching a lot of things, ministries and stuff, and there are so many out there. Now, these churches teaching that there are no miracles today. There are no apostles. There are no prophets and stuff today. And of course, those are the very churches that they don't have miracles, and they're not getting signs and wonders. And so what's the best way to cover yourself is to put it down, to say it's no more. But I can't believe how, I mean, black and white, big and small, they're saying that that it's not like... He's not, in other words, they're saying he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't realize that's what they're saying. And it just baffles me when I sit there and listen how I have to get up. I get so angry. I have to just get up and turn it. If I could go through there, I probably would just take the Bible and pop him in the lips with it. He's real. And the problem is most of the churches, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They have, like I say, they're most of the time, there's so many spiritual diabetics. All they're hearing is how you're going to prosper and this is going to be your good, this is your week this time and everything's going to turn around for you. You know, I mean, that's all they hear. And they hold, so in some cases, they hold up their Bible and say a lot of words, but they don't open it. If we don't know the truth, how many churches, is there any of your churches teaching you that the Antichrist is coming first on the sixth trump before the Savior comes? Are you being taught that? Is that being taught to you? Are they teaching you who the Kenites are? Who and what the Kenites are? The sons of Cain? Who they are? Are they teaching you that those who are claiming to be Yah's people, the chosen ones, they are, in fact, they are not? Of course, they're not teaching you that. But when you go read the scripture, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, it's in scripture, and there you can go through some of the podcasts where it teaches you about it. You know, I mean, people are content believing a lie, and I still can't get over how many churches and people are celebrating Easter. And oh, now they call it Resurrection Sunday. Tell me something. Where is that in the scripture? Can you show me in your Bible where it says Resurrection Sunday? I better be careful now with all these new translations. They got the Queen James Bible and all these other translations. They might have it in there in one of those. I mean, why can't they just call it what it is? Pesach, Passover. I don't know what's wrong with man. It's like, I mean, first of all, they went to calling it Easter, mistranslated one time in the scripture when over 28 times it's called Passover, but they still don't want to go Passover, and now it's Resurrection Sunday. That's not any better. It's still not calling it what it is. What it was and what it is. He said, add nothing and take nothing from it. So how are you going to add Resurrection Sunday? And they still celebrate Good Friday. And then on Resurrection Sunday, preach. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. When on Good Friday, if he was... He was buried in Good Friday, then he was in the tomb 2 days and two nights. As you can, I guess I'm a little fed up in a lot of ways. And sometimes I just feel like I don't fit because I can't listen to what they call the okie doke. And people are still teaching that December 25th is Jesus' birthday. It is not the Savior's birthday. That is not the day he's born, but it's a pagan god's birthday. Is it Osiris or I can't think of the name, but it's not his. And there's nowhere in scripture where any of his disciples or any of his believers, his followers, celebrated his birthday. The Savior himself did not celebrate his birthday. Celebrating birthdays, pagan. We've also found out that putting candles on your cake, making a wish, blowing out, that's witchcraft. It is all pagan. It has nothing to do with him. We're not supposed to be doing that. But we've gotten so deep into it, and some people just feel like, well, you know, they don't want to turn around. They just want to keep on. But we're going to face the Savior one day. And he's going to say, you had a chance, you heard truth, but you wouldn't take heed to it. You wouldn't even research to try to find out things. Mother's Day is coming up. People get angry with me. Do you know Mother's Day came from worshiping the goddess Diana? And then the Catholic turned over to Mary, because Mother Mary is really Diana. That's who it really is that they worship. And that's where Mother's Day came from. Father's Day came from the worshiping the sun god. His name is on the tip of my tongue. Him and the moon goddess supposedly had a son named Osiris. He was the one who built the Tower of Babel. He was the first mighty one. In other words, you know, mighty one means God. I mean, that's what God is, mighty one. I almost said his name, but I can't. And I'm not going to stop and look it up. I'm making this podcast regardless. What I have to give, I'm giving. But, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Children's Day, Teacher's Day, Grandparents' Day, Resurrection Day, Christmas Day. I'm trying to give all these days away to No day, nobody owns a day. Every day belongs to Yah. He made every day and for him. This is the day that Yah has made, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it and praise him, give honor him. He's the only one that should be honored with a day, with days. And some churches will go, they'll spend the whole service on honoring the mothers. That is terrible. But you say it's Yah's house, or they say God's house, but you're going to honor the mothers on Father's Day. You're going to honor the fathers. Are you honoring brother so-and-so who never missed a Sunday and who is always in every activity we had? Come on now. See, the church is for men. His temple is dedicated to him. A hope temple, the ministry, the building, the house of prayer that I built in Nigeria is called a hope temple. There's no such thing. There's no honoring Mother's Day. There's no honoring fathers. There's no honoring anybody but him in his house. So if you have anything you want to give, you want to honor someone, you honor them outside. And then you come in and give thanks to them inside the temple. But that's his place. How are we calling it his house? It's a comedy house. It's a restaurant. It's a nightclub. It's a place to go, come and go play table tennis. They're doing all kind of things to get the world in. We want to attract the people, the world. They're becoming so much like the world. A lot of places you can't tell the difference. But is the world trying to become more like them to make them feel comfortable? No. Why are Christians doing that? Well, I know why. Because Satan has been in the pulpit and in the church a long time. The Jezebel spirit has been in a long time. Witches and warlocks and demons, they're in there. And if you don't have discernment and you're not paying attention, you're just being sucked in. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of people surprised to wake up in hell. There was this pastor, I was watching this, and his testimony was, when he died, he was given 5 hours in heaven and 5 hours in hell. And when he was in, of course, heaven was beautiful. But I just want to talk about this part. Where he was in hell, he saw pastors and their whole congregation in hell. And the congregation was snatching and torn out. Said, how could you do that? You told us it was the truth. Why did you lead us into hell? It was crazy. And there were the pastor being tormented, everybody's being tormented, and they're going at him, tearing at him. And this is going to be for eternity? See, we are accountable. If you're going to sit up under a mist, you know it's not right, but you just want to do your diligence, do your deed. I went to church. I went to church Sunday. I went to church today. There's some people, they just go to church just as they're going to church. And a lot of them over here in Taiwan, some of them, they go to church to eat. Because, you know, over here, after every service, they feed the people. Mm-hmm. They give you a nice lunch every Sunday, after every service on Sunday. Yes. Some people get there at 11:30, quarter to 12, because it's over at 12. Sit in the back. They just came to eat and to socialize. Yeah. It's like going to... Sometimes I can't go to, like, I know I love the pastor here, there's a church where I serve. You know, I go to pray for people and like that. I acknowledge and celebrate the Shabbat, Saturday the Shabbat. So, but you know, I will worship and serve him on every day. And I lost my train of thought when I was in there, but. I can't remember exactly what I was getting ready to say. I know I was talking about... Oh, I was saying I can't go there because I'll be distracted. He says, well, the pastor would say, well, why don't you come to church today? I said, well, I'm fasting and praying right now. And people would say, well, you know, the church is the best place to be. No. It's a distraction. It's more like a country club. It's a social... And, you know, when you're fasting and praying, you're not supposed to be in this socializing thing. It's all supposed to be about the Father. It's not just not eating. No, it's not going out to lunch with your friends. It's putting all that time with him with the Father. You're putting Him first. You're putting the Word first. Not being on, not on the social media all day. Not, you know, not having bad attitudes. You know, I mean, not watching HBO and all these movies. It's dedicated to Him. The Word, worship, prayer, in Him, being in His presence. That's what a fast is. Not just not eat. If you're just not going to eat, that's just, you're just dieting. And when you, even if you're going to fast and you don't fill up, you don't eat Him, you don't drink Him, you're opening the door for Satan to come in. I mean, a lot of those other religions fast too. And when you fast, you open to the supernatural realm, you know. So if you better be filling it up with Him, with His Word. So, you know, so when I'm really seeking Him, I can't go to church because it's too much of a distraction. And I'm sorry to say that. I hate to say that. It shouldn't be that way. You know, and there are beautiful people and friends that they love to see me, and I love to see them too. But, you know, I don't want to just go to church to socialize. And sometimes I can't go because I don't want to just socialize. I want to be in His presence. I want to be about His Word, crying out to Him. I want to be around people that's digging deep, crying out for Him, worshiping Him, praising Him. Not, you know, 20 minutes, four songs, and then we got to, okay, worship is over, praise is over, let's do the sermon, okay, that's over, let's take the collection, let's eat, you know, where just let the Spirit lead and just go and worship and pray as long as He, as it's in our heart, and we will bring His presence. I want to be in the midst of the tangible presence of y'all, and I have yet to be there in the church. I mean, sure, people, they think when they cry, you get a little fuzzy feeling, or you feel a little anointing. That's not the same as His full presence. Don't you want that, beloved? I do. There's so much more to Him. There's so much more. And He's not going to give it if you don't want it. You know, He says He only feeds the hungry. So if you're not hungering for it, you're not hungering and thirst for it, you're not going to get fed. He's not going to give it to you. Why should He feed someone who's not hungry? He's not going to force you to eat and make you eat. You have to be hungry. For those who hunger and thirst shall be filled. What do you think about all of this? I mean, you know, food for thought and giving you something to think about. Are you content? Do you with your church? Do you believe your church is teaching you the Bible? Do you understand teaching you from the beginning to end? Do you understand Revelation? Do you understand what everything means? You understand about the seven trumpets? Do you really understand and know the truth? What the Scripture is really saying about rapture? Do you believe in Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Can you show me where it says that in the Bible? Do I believe that there is the Father and the Son and the Spirit? Oh, yes. But they are one. Yahuwah is the Father above us in heaven. Yahusha, who's called Jesus, is the Savior with us, Yah with us. Yeah, the Father is Yah above us. The Savior is Yah with us. And the Spirit is Yah in us. It's Him. It's one. Not three gods in one. Where does it say that? Like I said before, I'm a grandmother. I'm a mother. I'm an auntie. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister, I'm a cousin, I'm an aunt, I'm a friend, and I have different offices. I act differently in each office. I'm, as a grandmother, I'm not the same as I would be with a cousin or a niece or nephew or with an aunt or an uncle. I'm a niece also, yeah. He says, I am the only one. You got to say, there's only one God. But then you're saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's three gods. That's like three gods in one. That came from Egypt, the Trinity. There is no Trinity. Now, there's a triune. Now, you want to call him the triune ruler? I mean, like, he's everything. Like, just like, he's family. He's the Father. He's the Son. He's the Spirit. Because the Son is his word made flesh. And beloved, like I said before, if it's different, so you're saying, you know, Yah is a spirit. Scriptures say Yah is a spirit. Your Bible says God is a spirit. We should worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, are you saying that a spirit has a spirit? Because that's what you would be saying. If Yah is a spirit, but then he has a spirit, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. No, that's him. That's him. A spirit cannot and does not have a spirit. And his word is him. Veiled in flesh. For the word was with Yah and the word was Yah. The Bible says the word was with God and the word was God. That's him. And the spirit, and he is a spirit. The spirit is him. He's almighty. He's just functioning in three different offices. But it's only him. It's him. It's almighty Yah. The almighty one. Alua means almighty one. Like it's Elohim means mighty ones, plural. And they also use that for pagan gods. They call them the angels. You know, what do you believe? You better check these things out. We will be accountable. I'm going to be accountable for everything I've said, everything I taught. And I say, that's why I pray, Father, tell me until or unless you tell me something different and tell me I'm wrong. I'm going to keep preaching and what I'm doing, what I believe you show me. You know my heart. I don't ever want to preach anything wrong. But we've got to decide what we believe, and then we got to stand on it. We just can't fall for anything. We got to stand for something. If you're waiting to be raptured up, to be flown up, okay, like I say, he comes and he takes the good people, right? The church, yeah. Those who go to church on Sunday. And then he flies them away. And then he's going to come back. Leave all the other people there. Then he's going to come back again. That's three comings. Because he's already come once. The scripture only speak of two. If we live long enough, that Antichrist will become here saying, I've come to fly you away. And he's going to do miracles and signs and wonders. That's why scripture said Father had to shorten the time, because if he didn't, even the most elect would be fooled. He's so convincing. Something to think about. Something to pray about. Pray, pray, pray. Father, teach me your truth. I want to know the truth. He's not going to feed you if you're not hungry. So much more to learn, and there's so much more of him that we haven't received. Not because he's holding back, it's because we haven't dug down deep enough to get it. The way up is down. There's no fear for him. I mean, people don't even fear. They do what they want to do in the church, a building that they call the house of God, or they call the house of worship. And he called it, he said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. Man, just do what they want to do. There's been a situation in Africa. Young man took his little girlfriend in the other room. and they had sex in the church while the other people were worshiping around. They, come on now. Is that respect? There's no fear of him. Oh, but they're afraid of demons. And there's another time. My grandson was telling me about they were inside on a night vigil, an all night prayer. And a lot of people sleeping and sitting around. And then this one girl, they were doing deliverance on this one girl. And she was flapping her wings. She was like, she was a bird. And she was making the sounds of an owl. And then, you know, all the windows are shut and the doors are locked because it's late at night, like on 2 o'clock in the morning. And then out of nowhere, this big owl flew in all around in the church. Oh, you should have seen them screaming. And he said they were screaming, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. He said, I don't know why there was Holy Ghost fire. What's that? Oh, that woke up then. They were scared then. That owl, the owl came in and flew around them and went by as that girl was flapping her wings like she was a bird and then disappeared. The windows weren't open. The windows were locked and the doors were locked. They woke up then. When people were screaming, they woke up then. They were praying. They were trying to pray then. I wish he could tell you the story. I laughed so hard. He was, and they didn't know how to do anything, pray nothing but Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Well, let's see. Yeah, that went crazy. So what are we going to do, beloved? I don't know what this podcast is, but it should give you something to think about, too. What are you going to believe? Are you researching? Do you really know how serious it is that we are going to be accountable? And thank you. His spirit just reminded me, say, and that we are accountable for every thought. He cares more about our thoughts than he does our words. Because we can say things we don't mean. People say, but when you got it in your mind, in your thoughts, oh, that's you. Your thoughts are you, and whoever has your thoughts has you. You know, we're going to be accountable for not only every word, but every thought. And he knows every word and every thought. We think we can't fool him. We cannot manipulate him in any way. He knows when we're really trying. He knows when we're not. But he loves us. He yet loves us. He loves us in spite of us. That's why he gives us chance. That's why he came as his son in his word veiled in flesh to pay for our sins so that we could have another chance, pay for our disease and give us healing so that we can live. We can have another chance to get it right. Yeah. We've got to decide. Are we just going to sit here and be led to slaughter like dumb sheep? Are we going to study ourselves approved? There's only one shepherd. I say there's only one shepherd you should follow and be a dumb sheep to, and that is the shepherd himself, Yahusha, the Mashiach, who's called the one who they call Jesus. He's the good shepherd. These men and women, including myself, we are not shepherds. And a lot of them are leading you to hell. A lot of them are leading them to hell. We are supposed to lead you to the shepherd, guide you to the shepherd. We're supposed to be guides. But they want to be the shepherd. My flock. We don't own a flock. Those are not your people, Pastor. Those are not your people, Bishop. They belong to the Father and the Savior. He's given you to be a steward over them. You're supposed to be helping them find him, go to him. Instead of trying to own them. And the church is supposed to train up disciples and believers and send them out to make more. But no, they want to bring them in. It's about the head count. How many people can they get in? Get them in and keep them in. and get upset if somebody goes to another church. That's all wrong. That's all wrong. I'm getting a little beside myself. I don't even know what I'm going to call this podcast. Maybe I'll call this one, "What Do You Really Believe?" or "What's in Your Heart?" Or maybe, "Do You Really Know What's Going On?" I don't know. All right, beloved, let me pray for you before we go. Pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being here. I thank you for another day, for giving me this opportunity to be here another day. Father, and I apologize to you and to these wonderful people and repent for not making the podcast in times when I just felt like I couldn't. And we can do all things in Yahusha, the Messiah who strengthens us. Nothing is impossible for you. We must remember that. We will go through trials and tribulation. We never said it would be easy. Father, I pray that everyone listening will give everything to you right now and understand that, yes, we will have hard times. Yes, we will have trials and tribulations, just like your son did, just like the Savior did, just like the apostles and the disciples did. This is a fallen world, but you have given us a way out. And the way out is up, and the only way to go up is to go down. Down on our knees. Dig down deep in prayer and to cry out to you. I pray for a cry in the hearts of the people that are listening. A cry for more of you. A cry for revival. And Father, I know you have not held yourself back. You've given us all, but we have not received it all. They're not going for it. We're not going for it. There's so much more of you that we have not digested, that we have not taken in. So much more of your word that we don't know because we haven't researched. We haven't prayed. So much more that you want to give us, that you want us to know. Oh, I pray for more, for us to be more like you. For I pray for more, a hunger and a thirst for you, like never before. Because you will not feed those that are not hungry. I pray for a hunger and a thirst in my heart, in the heart of the listeners, in the heart of your people over the four corners of this earth. Because you're coming back. Your son is coming back. He doesn't even know when. You know when. And we've got to be ready. I'm sorry to say, the church is not ready. And it is your will that none should perish. You don't want any of your children to perish. But your will is, you're not having your will, because many, the majority, are perishing. And I know that breaks your heart, because it's not your will. Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for Satan and the fallen angels, the fallen ones. And they're fallen offsprings now. Forgive us, Father. I come and repent. We come in repentance, repenting for slothfulness, for procrastination, for just being stationary, for just being content with what somebody tells us instead of researching it and praying about it, find out for ourselves, seeking your face. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, which is to fast, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear them from heaven and heal their land. Oh, Father, I pray for there to be a desire in the hearts of your people to fast. So many of them, they can't even go a whole day without food. And if we can't control our stomach, How can we cast a demon out? How can we do it? How can, if we can't rule our own stomach, if our stomachs are ruling us, what? How can we rule anything? How can we lay hands on the sick and they be healed? Why would a body listen to us if our own body is ruling us? And I know about that. I know about being, allowing your stomach to control you. The stomach is a terrible master. It can be a good servant. I pray that we all bring our stomachs into obedience to you, that we fast and pray. To humble ourselves is to fast and pray. Prayer is good, but your word says, when you fast, it didn't say if you fast. I pray that all those that have not fasted or do not believe in fasting, that they're convicted to know. I mean, there's so much more power, so much more revelation that we can get, that we, when we fast and pray, than just prayer. Thank you for your patience with us, Father. Thank you for loving us in spite of us. My prayer that we become more like you, that we may, as John the Baptist said, we must decrease and you must increase. We must die to flesh so that we can live for you, so that you can live through us. It's too much us. It's too much I, me, myself, and not enough you in us. Have mercy on us, Father. As your word says, oh, Father, Yah, look upon us and be merciful unto us as you used to do unto those who love your name. Those who love your name. In the name, above all names, Yah, Yahusha, the Messiah, Messiah, salvation, who's called Jesus. He's called Jesus Christ, but he is the anointed one, the only begotten Son of Yah, the Messiah. Oh, well, okay, it's time you can see. I don't know what happened to this. It wasn't supposed to go to a commercial. But anyway, beloved, thank you for being here. I hope you can get something out of this. Pray about this. Pray over this. I know it's got to be something in here that can minister to you. Something. Okay? So, I just want to say I love you. And I have not forgotten you. And I apologize to you and repent before you for being away so long. Forgive me. Okay? And until we meet again, Yah willing, and says the same, that I'm able to do so. Shalom. Peace be with you. Mm-hmm.